Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and this week I'm up in Canada. I've been invited to present our list of evidence against the Big Bang. If that topic interests you, of course you could Google evidence against the Big Bang, and you'll find us right near the top of page one. Click on the kgov.com article. I think you'll love it. So that's why I've not been in the studio, but what we've been doing, and we've never done this before, is airing the audio tracks of our documentary trilogy, Focus on the Strategy. So now today, the conclusion, part three, after learning the lessons of part one and part two, which exposed the 40 years in the wilderness of failed pro-family tactics, now we're better equipped to strategize effectively, as we do in Focus 3, to implement the three-pronged strategy that can lead to the end of child killing in our lifetimes.
Political convention came to our headquarters city of Denver, Colorado. American Right to Life was angered. How dare they bring their agenda to kill unborn children to our town? We asked God to help us send a message to the Democratic National Convention that we will fight against anyone who dares to advocate for abortion. For three shifts a day, 7 days a week, our members sewed together 2,400 bed sheets with 4 miles of seams. 44 volunteers outfitted with heavy backpacks brought the 2,700-pound sign onto location to make sure a million people could easily read the sign. The world's largest protest sign shouted from the mountaintops.
So many of you saw it.
Someone's opinion.
Wondered, what is it?
The message that we woke up to this morning.
There it was on North Table Mountain, clearly ready for the morning's masses.
I just saw it bringing my daughters, you know, to school.
Joy Hall saw it and clearly wasn't bothered by it. Bed sheets brought up around 1 a.m. by a group of volunteers who clearly weren't fazed by the police presence.
The more people see it, the better.
Amen. We did get a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls into the information center from people who did see that. So thanks for those who did let us know about it, too.
Hard to miss.
Check this out from Sky Fox here. This is an attempt at the Guinness World Book of Records for the largest protest sign. Look at this. Destroys unborn children. That is over near Lookout Mountain. I don't know what it takes to get in the Guinness World Book of Records in terms of protest signs, but that's pretty big. We'll be right back.
Now, our phones were ringing off the hook this morning in the newsroom concerning a protest in Golden.
And it wasn't your typical protest. Anti-abortion activists unfurled a huge sign that some people found offensive. And 7 News reporter Jacqueline Allen is now in Golden. And Jacqueline, while that sign is gone now, a lot of people saw it this morning.
Overnight, dozens of volunteers hiked North Table Mountain with more than 2,400 queen-sized bed sheets.
We just want to draw attention to the fact that the Democrat National Committee, with their platform, with their stance on issues, the people they elect, have destroyed 54 million children over the last 30 years.
Hundreds of people contacted us in the 9 News Information Center. It was that huge sign on Table Mountain. It went up overnight. Protesters hiked up the mountain with more than 2,400 sheets that they had sewn together to form letters and send a message in opposition to the pro-choice views of the Democratic Party.
Welcome now to Focus on the Strategy 3, the conclusion of American Right to Life's trilogy on how to stop the mass murder of innocent children.
My name is Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and I'm a spokesman for American Right to Life. This group, American Right to Life, was first announced nationally by Time Magazine and then U.S. News and World Report. And since then, Fox News, ABC's World News Tonight, this is just all in the last few months, and dozens of news stories and major and regional publications, newspapers, magazines, radio stations, TV shows, 100 blogs. American Right to Life was launched at a two-day summit hosted by Colorado Right to Life
in which 30 pro-life leaders from around the country came to Denver, including people like Judy Brown and Alan Keyes and Brian Rohrbaugh, Flip Benham, John Lofton, Matt Truella, Steve Curtis, and so many others. Now, Life Commercials was founded by Jim Anderson and Steve Curtis, and Steve Curtis and Columbine dad Brian Rohrbaugh, Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh and their children are right here. They are the chief officers of American Right to Life, which was established to break the logjam in abortion politics and put the effort back, take it away from an effort designed by lawyers and politicians, and return the battle to its spiritual foundation, because it's a Christian battle. It is a Christian battle because it is only that we are made in God's image and likeness that we have a right to life. And the prayer is, by bringing this back to a biblical foundation, by putting honoring and obeying God above all other concerns, that instead of tweaking the methods of killing kids, well, don't kill them this way. You could kill them that way for now. Don't kill them this way. The goal is, by taking righteousness and truth as our banner, we will be able to stop the killing of unborn children in our lifetimes. That's the goal. Now, focus on the strategy three. What is focus on the strategy three? Well, we'll have to talk about one and two just briefly, but we're going to present a three-pronged strategy for ending abortion, not in our lifetimes, but in the next 12 years, Lord willing. Focus on the strategy one is a blockbuster analysis of Christian political strategy based on the DVDs that have gone out all over this country, filmed before a live audience of 300 Christian activists like you guys, in which we revealed the presentation done by the elders of Denver Bible Church down in Colorado Springs to Focus on the Family and James Dobson's Vice President of Public Policy, Tom Minery. And so we took that presentation and we reenacted it in front of a live audience, and Focus One has been advertised by other ministries, for example, Missionaries to the Preborn, as the DVD of the century. Some organizations have purchased as many as 100 to give to their regional affiliate leaders to try to stop abortion. Now, the sequel was focused on the strategy two. Thanks to Jason Troyer, Control Burn Media, this was a finalist at the San Antonio Independent Film Festival, and it's earned extraordinary endorsements from many Christian leaders, and I'd like you to hear one. Many of you know longtime pro-life hero B1 Bob, a Reagan-era U.S. congressman for 20 years, and I'd like to let Bob Dornan tell us what he learned from this DVD.
This is Congressman Bob Dornan. Bob, welcome to Bob Beniert Live.
Reverend Bob Beniert, for the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy, that you gave me seven simple words that I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words.
But what are those seven words?
And then you can kill the baby.
It's a bad law if it says, and then you could kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. If you do this, that real notification, your documentary, everybody in America who wants to be part of a good fight, they must get that documentary on the strategy.
Thank you, Bob Dornan.
This basic teaching that there is a right and wrong, and there's a political battle in which some people want to kill unborn children, other people don't, but we can't wage that political battle strictly on political calculations. We can't do that, because the reason there is a battle is because there's right and wrong. And so right and wrong, honoring God, has to come first, and then we look at our political considerations. That's second. Now, focus three, we're going to look at a three-pronged strategy: criminalize, demoralize, and evangelize. Now, tonight we'll talk some about personhood, And we're told that this isn't the right time for personhood. Abortion was legalized in Colorado 41 years ago. And we want to make an offer here tonight, a $10,000 offer for the first person who could name a U.S. Supreme Court justice, one of the current nine justices. Seven of the nine were nominated by Republican presidents, and many of those names are heroes of the pro-life movement for years or even decades. So this can't be too hard, right? I mean, just guessing, one out of nine. The offer is, if you could name one of the current U.S. Supreme Court justices who has ruled, written an opinion, either a prevailing opinion or a dissent, any time in his career as a federal judge, in any district, any appellate court, or on the U.S. Supreme Court, if you could name one of our judges, like Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Anthony Kennedy, if you could name one of our current U.S. Supreme Court justices who has ever ruled, ever written an opinion, whether the prevailing opinion of the court or a dissent, in which he said that the unborn child has a right to life, that the unborn child is a person, that the unborn child can't be killed because it's a person, and as a person, he has protections. If anyone could name one such justice, then this check will be yours. This is a real check. Now, we bring this up because we are told that we're not sure who the next justice will be. I won't name names, but in the last few months, a number of leading Christian pro-lifers have said that we need one more judge first. If we get one more judge, then it'll be the time to act. Then we could save children. Well, if we get one judge who believes the unborn child has a right to life, one, could you guys help me with this? If we get one judge appointed who believes the unborn child has a right to life, how many judges will we then have that believe that? Anybody?
One.
We'll have one. We don't need one more. We have none. We have none. Okay. Now, you might not believe me. You might not know me. Who am I? I'd like to tell you about a dear friend of ours, Dr. Charles Rice, professor at the Notre Dame Law School, brilliant man, pro-life hero. He wrote an article on July 5th, 2007, in The Wanderer, about a 150-year-old publication. And he wrote this: every justice now on the court accepts the Roe v. Wade holding that the unborn child is a non-person. And his article went on to say this: the situation remains as described by Justice John Paul Stevens in a Supreme Court ruling in 1992 called Planned Parenthood versus Casey. The court in Roe v. Wade considered and rejected the argument that the fetus is a person. There was no dissent. There were questions in the oral argument like, well, what if the fetus is a person? What then? There were questions like that. And who was it? Byron White wrote a dissent. And he said, well, the fetus, perhaps it's a life or a potential life. And that's about as close as we came. I mean, bacteria is a life or a potential life. So the question is, do we have a justice who believes that the child is a person? In Casey, in that Supreme Court ruling, Antonin Scalia, who's one of the leading heroes of the pro-life movement for all the years that I've been a pro-lifer, for decades, he is put out as a standard bearer. These are the kinds of judges we need. We need more judges like Antonin Scalia. Scalia said in a ruling, the states may, if they wish, permit abortion on demand, but the Constitution doesn't require them to do so. You see that? So we're pro-choice. If some state wants to kill children, another state wants to kill blacks, Another state wants to kill Jews. The Constitution doesn't say you can't kill Jews. Does it say that? It doesn't say you can't kill blacks, kill children. See, if you believe the unborn child is a person, then the Constitution says, even the Constitution, I mean, God's law says do not murder. But even the Constitution says you cannot deprive a person of life and limb without due process. You have to charge them with a capital crime. There's equal protection between the law, and the states are mandated by the Constitution to protect all people equally. But let's continue here with Dr. Charles Rice. In his Stenberg dissent, that's another Supreme Court ruling, Justice Thomas, joined by Justice Scalia and then Chief Justice Rehnquist, said, "Nothing in our federal Constitution deprives the people of this country of the right to," and I'll paraphrase, you can read it, "to weigh abortion with the burden of unwanted pregnancy. Abortion to the fetus versus, oh, I'm pregnant and I don't want to be." Clarence Thomas said, "Nothing in the Constitution deprives people from weighing that and coming down however a state decides. A state may permit abortion, but nothing in the Constitution dictates that a state must do so." Is that a pro-life statement? A pro-life statement is the unborn child has a right to life, and the government's obligation is to protect the innocent. That's pro-life. The unborn child has a right to life, and no government can allow killing an innocent person. So is it a pro-life statement, yes or no, to say a state may permit abortion? Is that pro-life?
No,
it's not pro-life. Now, we've ended with the quotes from the Supreme Court rulings. Now we're back to Dr. Charles Rice. Even Justices Thomas and Scalia would allow the states to permit the execution of the unborn child. They therefore accept the non-personhood of that child, Dr. Charles Rice. These issues are irrefragable. They cannot be debated. Millions of Christians have been told we're one judge away from what? Are we taking the battle for saving the lives of children seriously? Or do we feel good when we trick ourselves and say, we're cheerleaders. One more, we're almost there, guys, one more, give it the college try. I know this is a bit discouraging, but the pro-life movement has to come to terms with reality, and then we will be better positioned for victory. So this check, $10,000 check, American Right to Life, they're putting out a press release, and they're offering this to National Right to Life. National Right to Life. They could use the money. All they have to do is give us the name of one of the current U.S. Supreme Court justices who has ever in his career as a federal judge, whether in a prevailing opinion or in a dissent, written that the unborn child has a right to life, or that the unborn child is a person. Antonin Scalia, a hero. One of the attorneys, staff attorneys at Focus on the Family, James Odom, asked me to meet him for dinner. It was at a private club in Colorado Springs, the El Paso Club, and we had a wonderful dinner, and we went through the justices, one by one, how they are secular humanists and moral relativists, and they reject any obligation to God's command, do not murder. It is completely irrelevant to them. And they've come through America's law schools, right? So have they learned through their law school education that they have a duty to God to not allow the innocent to be murdered? Do you learn that in any law school in America? Here's my horror. My horror is you don't learn that in Christian law schools. That's my horror that I'm beginning to realize in the last 5 years. That in Christian law schools, you are taught you have to uphold the law. You're faithful to the process. And so we need to realize there's a crisis. And men and women who are not afraid to be mocked or made fun of or marginalized need to stand up and say, you know what? We have allowed the body of Christ to to be taken over by lawyers and politicians who do not have God's interest in mind. They have their own personal power and lust for money in mind. That's the evidence in front of us. Antonin Scalia, our friend James Odom at Focus on the Family, 5-year staff attorney, moved his wife and beautiful kids from Indiana to join the staff there. We had a great lunch. Sometime later, his boss found out he had a lunch with some of the guys at American Right to Life, and he was fired within an hour. But these are some of the quotes we looked at. "I will strike down Roe v. Wade." This is Antonin Scalia, hero of the pro-life movement. "I will strike down Roe v. Wade, but I will also strike down a law that is the opposite of Roe v. Wade." How's that? Isn't that great? If we passed a law that said you cannot kill an innocent child in America, what would Antonin Scalia do? He would strike it down. "One side wants no state to be able to prohibit abortion, and the other wants every state to have to prohibit abortion, and they're both wrong." What if he was a judge in Germany in the 1930s and 40s? What would he have done? His worldview, it's called legal positivism. It is you uphold the law no matter what the law is. So James Odom said to me, he said, "My friend just attended a speech by Antonin Scalia at Pepperdine University. And he was presenting this judicial outlook that the judge's role is to uphold the law. You don't bring your own morality to the law." And a student asked and said, Justice Scalia, what if you were a judge in Nazi Germany? What would you have done? And he wasn't able to give a moral answer, a strong answer. His answer was, and I heard this third hand through James Odom, staff attorney at Focus on the Family. His answer was, "Well, then maybe I would have been tried at Nuremberg." That was 2002. Maybe he's rethought it. In 2004, and you could find these quotes on the internet, of course, in 5 seconds. "Take the abortion issue," he said. "Whichever side wins in the courts, the other side feels cheated. I mean, you know, there's something to be said for both sides." That's right. One side wants to kill innocent children, the other side wants to protect them. There's something to be said for both sides. In April 9th, this month, 2008, "The reality is the Constitution doesn't address the subject at all." Killing the innocent is not in the Constitution? It's there. Killing the innocent? Article 5, Article 14, "You cannot deprive a person of life or limb without due process. And the states are mandated, required by the federal government, to give equal protection of the law to every person." So the only way you say the Constitution doesn't address killing unborn children, if you say they're not people, they're tumors, or they're some kind of a parasite, like Warren Hernon Boulder says. He said, "You want the right to abortion?" This was speaking on a college campus to a lot of kids, young people. "You want the right to abortion? Create it the way most rights are created in a democracy. Persuade your fellow citizens it's a good idea and pass a law. Then you could kill your baby. If you feel the other way, repeal the law." Have you heard of moral relativism? Moral relativism, legal positivism, secular humanism? Legal positivism is what almost every judge in America is, including the hundreds that Republicans have put into office through state governor offices or onto the federal judiciary. And the best I can tell, they are all legal positivist. They are all moral relativist. They are all secular humanist. So that there is a crisis in America, and the battle over the unborn child shows us the root of that crisis is that the body of Christ has embraced moral relativism and legal positivism, which is their synonyms, except the one is in court. legal positivism and secular humanism. So there's the check for National Right to Life. Will they be able to cash it? No, but we're going to offer it to them. And we'll offer it to Jay Sekulow. And we'll offer it to Americans United for Life. And we'll offer it to Dr. James Dobson, a man I love. And my wife just read his book, Bringing Up Boys. We've been raising our kids based on his writings since, you know, 20 years. Hebrews 11:32. We've only talked about Antonin Scalia. But Hebrews 11:32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Anthony Kennedy, and Clarence Thomas. But I assure you, you would be horrified. So focus three, criminalize, demoralize, evangelize, CDE. Now, I'd like us to hear Roe v. Wade, the oral arguments from 1973. Actually, it was in 1972 before they ruled. Let's listen to this.
First in number 70, 18, Roe against Wade. Mrs. Weddington, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. We are once again before this court to ask relief against the continued enforcement of the Texas abortion statute and ask that you affirm the ruling of the three-judge court below, which held our statute unconstitutional for two reasons. The first, that it was vague, and the second, that it interfered with the Ninth Amendment right of a woman to determine whether or not she would continue or terminate a pregnancy.
Regardless of the purpose for which the statute was originally enacted or the purpose which keeps it on the books in Texas today, you would agree, I suppose, that one of the important factors that has to be considered in this case is what rights, if any, does the unborn fetus have?
That's correct. There's also,
of course, critical to your case that the fetus not be a person under the due process clause.
It seems to me that it is critical first that we prove this is a fundamental interest on the behalf of the woman, that it is a constitutional right.
Well, and yes, second, but how about the fetus?
Okay, and second, that the state has no compelling state interest. Okay, and the state is alleging a compelling state interest.
Yes, but I'm just asking you, under the federal constitution, is the fetus a person for the purpose of the protection of the due process clause?
All of the cases, the prior history of this statute, the common law history, would indicate that it is not. The state has shown no...
Would you lose your case if the fetus was a person?
Then you would have a balancing of interest.
Well, you have anyway, don't you?
Excuse me? If the state could show that the fetus was a person under the 14th Amendment or under some other amendment or part of the Constitution, then you would have the situation of trying... you would have a state compelling interest, which in some instances can outweigh a fundamental right. I think, had there been established that the fetus was a person under the 14th Amendment or under constitutional protection, then there might be a differentiation. In this case, there has never been established that the fetus is a person or that it's entitled to the 14th Amendment rights or the protection of the Constitution. It would be inconsistent to decide that after birth, various classifications of persons would be subject to the death penalty or not. But here we have a person, the woman, entitled to fundamental constitutional rights, as opposed to the fetus prior to birth, where there is no establishment of any kind of federal constitutional rights.
Well, do I get from this, then, that your case depends primarily on the proposition that the fetus has no constitutional rights?
It depends on saying that the woman has a fundamental constitutional right and that the state has not proved any compelling interest for regulation in the area. Even if the court at some point determined the fetus to be entitled to constitutional protection, you would still get back into the weighing of one life against another.
life. That's what's involved in this case? Weighing one life against another?
No, Your Honor. I said that would be what would be involved if the facts were different. The state could prove that there was a person with a constitutional right.
If it were established that an unborn fetus is a person within the protection of the 14th Amendment, you would have almost an impossible case here, would you?
I would have a very difficult case.
Certainly would. Because you'd have the same kind of thing. You'd have to say that this would be the equivalent to after a child was born. If the mother thought it bothered her health having a child around, she could have it killed. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Within what framework should this question be decided? Should it be a theological one, or a philosophical one, or a medical one, or are we confined here to dealing with...
I think, Your Honor, that the court...
Constitutional meaning of it.
I wish I could answer that. I believe that the court must take the medical research and apply it to our Constitution the best it can. I said I'm without envy of the burden that the court has. I think that possibly we have an opportunity to make one of the worst mistakes here that we've ever made.
By the way, it was a Republican ruling. It was a Republican court majority. It was 7-2 ruling. Five Republicans gave us Roe v. Wade. Republican governor in Colorado, John Love, signed the first abortion law. Republican judges killed Terry Schiavo, from Judge George Greer, right up through the circuit court. Republicans, all six, nominated by Reagan, Bush, and George W. Bush, all six voted to starve to death. Terry Schiavo went to the Supreme Court. 7 of the 9 justices are Republicans. They voted to starve Terry Schiavo to death. The federal judiciary is 60% judges nominated by Republican presidents. It's been how many years? Since the late 70s, the goal was to elect Republican presidents, which I don't have anything against that. I'm Republican. Honey, am I Republican? I'm registered Republican. We went to our caucus. But the goal was elect Republican presidents and we would get judges who honor a culture of life. It has failed. And it's failed because the body of Christ has not influenced politics in the Republican Party. The Republican Party has taken the brightest and the best of the Christian leaders in America and dragged them into the sewer of moral relativism. Amen. So personhood is the answer. Personhood is the answer. Amen. Personhood is the answer because we need to teach the judges what they don't know and they will never learn. If we say, will you approve this law? It says if you pull the baby out to the belly button, you could kill it. That's what we worked for 15 years on, partial birth abortion ban. They were pulling the baby out to the neck and killing it. 15 years, $250 million given by pro-lifers, and we got a law and a ruling that says you could pull the baby out to the belly button and kill it. That's the partial birth abortion victory. Well, personhood is the answer, personhood. And so I'd like to ask one of my heroes in Colorado, Christy Burton, sponsor of the Human Life Amendment, to come up and tell us, Christy, could you come on up and tell us what's happening with that crucial campaign?
I'm definitely excited to be here tonight and tell you all what's going on with our campaign. Most of you do know that we have a personhood amendment here in Colorado. We have just 2.5 weeks left to collect the required signatures. We've been going since mid-November, so May 13th is our deadline. Currently, we're reporting that we have 68,000 signatures collected, which is great. We have to have 76,000 valid ones to get on the ballot. However, we have to keep working because we need about 100,000 signatures to turn it into 30,000 more signatures in 2.5 weeks. Whoa. And I know we can do that. I know we can do it because I know this is something... I'll remind you of something that Abraham Lincoln said. I hope I say this right. But when someone was asking him about the Civil War, and they said, well, how do you know which side God is on? Is he on the south side? Is he on the north side? Where is God? And he said, you know, I think what matters is that we are on God's side. And because I know when we're fighting for personhood, that is what the Bible teaches. That is what, as Christians, we know is right. And so we know we're on God's side. And I'm very confident this is something that God has asked me to do, and something that I've seen him work in so many people's lives in Colorado and just bring them here and be a huge part of what's going on. And I want to thank every one of you for being a part of this. And please don't stop now. In these last 2.5 weeks, we have to get the 30,000 signatures that we need to get on the ballot. We did bring some petitions here tonight. Please pick them up on your way out. Even if you can get 10 signatures, everything counts. If everyone in this room got 10 signatures, that would be 2,000 more signatures.
Oh.
So that would be incredible. We need every step that we can take. If we happen to not have enough here tonight, please visit our website. It's personhoodcolorado.org. You can call us, get petitions off the website. I mean, call us and we'll send you some. Or visit our distribution points. You get them very quickly. That would be important as well. And so I would just like to thank you all for being involved. And please keep going. This is something we need to have happening here in Colorado. Because as I was just listening to the Roe versus Wade arguments, I've actually never listened to those before. I've only read some of them. And Justice Henry Blackmun did say in his opinion that if the personhood of the unborn was ever established, the case for abortion would collapse.
Right.
And as we listen to those comments, there's so many questions the justices had about personhood. Are they people? Because I feel like if we can prove, if we can show that one state, Colorado, in our nation says every unborn child is a person, that presents a completely new argument to the court.
Right.
That the portion of Colorado's constitution that we're trying to change is equivalent to the federal 14th Amendment, establishing that every unborn child has a right to life. As we want to start that here in Colorado, that's what we can change. We can't really change the federal constitution right now, but we can change the Colorado constitution and lay a foundation here to protect every unborn child. So please continue being a part of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen, so much.
God has given Christy a vision. She's being faithful to it. Demoralize. How are we going to stop abortion? Is it going to be when everyone agrees that there is a God and we need to do the right thing? Is that how it's going to happen? Usually doesn't happen that way. Create unbearable social tension to coerce the government to correct the injustice of shedding innocent blood. Don't wait for a change of heart among thousands of governing officials. Instead, ensure that there is no child killing with tranquility.
Amen.
I'd like to introduce you to something called the Collaborators Project. The White's company, billion-dollar construction company, is building the largest abortion clinic in America here in Denver, 50,000 square feet, and it's being for Planned Parenthood. And so the Collaborators Project was launched back in the end of the summer to try to pressure collaborators to stop helping abortionists kill children. And so the name of the company is White's, and the name of this abortion clinic they're building has been dubbed, and this has gone all over the country, Auschwitz. The goal is to smear this company now. History will say that what they did was wicked, but to let them know now what you're doing is wicked. This is the home of one of the senior vice presidents of a billion-dollar corporation, Gary Megason. It's a Super Bowl party. Only these are all pro-life activists at his home on Super Bowl day. The idea is to get people to stop killing unborn children. It is a war in which kids are dying. Will Duffy, would you come up here? The Collaborators Project has a privacy policy on their website. And it says this. Can I read it, Will? It says, "There is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord, and no privacy for abortion collaborators, says the Collaborators Project." Will Duffy, thank you for being here.
No child killing with tranquility. That's easier said than done. What is the Collaborators Project mission? Basically, it's to discourage abortion collaborators from collaborating in the abortion industry. Easier said than done. In a perfect world, we would go to those who are collaborating in the abortion industry, show them a nice picture of an unborn baby, show them a picture of that same unborn baby killed by abortion, convert them to the pro-life position, and then they would quit collaborating in the abortion industry. Unfortunately, it's not that easy. So the Collaborators Project hopes to get people to quit the abortion industry, no matter what side of life they're on. So we have a big collaborator here in Colorado, the Whites Company, currently building the largest abortion facility in this country, 50,000 square feet, right in our backyard in Denver, Colorado. Now, hopefully, the Whites Company will serve as the national example of what happens to someone that collaborates in the abortion industry that's willing to build an abortion facility for a company like Planned Parenthood. Now, I've got a list here of some companies. I can't cover them all, but we have Lux Concrete Pumping. Lux Concrete Pumping was watching the news one night. They were covering our protest at the Whites Company and saw the building that they were working on. They had no idea that it was an abortion facility. They removed their concrete pumps the next day from the job, donated their proceeds to the Collaborators Project. We have M-Tech Mechanical. M-Tech Mechanical was bidding on this job. We made a simple phone call, let them know that this was not a medical facility, but that this facility was going to be used to dismember unborn babies in the womb. They promised us they would not bid on this job. Now again, in a perfect world, this is what would happen all the time. But this is not what we're living with and what we're dealing with today. So we have Rocky Mountain Mechanical. They decided they would bid on this job and work on this job. We made our phone call. That didn't work. So we decided to do a home protest of the president of the company. He lived in Winter Park. He lived so far away, he thought he was shielded from all of this. We made one visit to his home in Winter Park. He was so shocked, he pulled off the job the next day. And then we have Haynes Mechanical. Haynes Mechanical happened to be a Christian company, but wasn't too concerned with helping build this abortion facility. One trip to their neighborhood with a flyer telling their neighbors what they were doing, and they pulled off the job. We have Denver Security Services. Denver Security Services providing the security for this construction project. It took one home visit. I got a phone call the next day. They were not aware of what they were doing. Our home protest educated them on what they were involved with. They pulled off the job. No Child Killing with Tranquility is very successful. We have a lot of stories. We protested a city council member who had recently passed a law to basically prohibit our home protest of the Whites Company. One protest of a city council member encouraged the entire city council to quit. And our most recent story was a security guard at Planned Parenthood's current facility where they're currently killing kids, 20th and Vine in downtown Denver. They got a new security guard there. He worked 3 days, and we paid a visit to his home the following weekend after he had worked 3 days. And that's all it took was one home protest. He walked out and told us, if you stop protesting me, I will never work for Planned Parenthood ever again. And the funny story behind this guy is that he was an ex-Denver police officer, and he told Planned Parenthood that he had put 1,000 hardened criminals behind bars, and he could withstand some crazy pro-life activists. I guess not. I recently got a call from Portland, Oregon. Planned Parenthood is building a mega facility out there, a mega abortion facility, and they employ our methods of the Collaborators Project. And in exciting news,
Will Duffy, didn't he come out and visit with you a couple weeks ago?
He did.
The leader there?
The leader came out and talked with me, and he brought exciting news. He said that the general contractor for that facility, Walsh Construction, the Whites of Portland, Oregon, left the job before it even started because of the example we've set with the Whites company. The Collaborators Project will work. It will work with help and volunteers. It is the second step in our three-pronged strategy to end abortion, demoralizing abortion in this country. You can visit collaboratorsproject.com, sign up for our email updates, and remember, there are collaborators everywhere throughout this entire country. Thank you.
You notice the fierce determination to stop people from killing kids? A fierce determination to do everything we can do to stop people from killing kids. Evangelize and educate. Can we win on the laws of science? Pro-lifers for 25 years around the country, they've come to us and told us, we were told, don't mention God. We're going to win this based on the laws of science. Which of the laws of science mention right and wrong? Any of them? None of them. The unborn has the right to life only from the hand of his creator. We need to advocate enforcement of God's enduring command, you shall not murder. That's what we want. Never do evil that good may come of it. I realize that has no role in political calculations, but that's from God to us in the New Testament. We must obey God rather than men. That is the antithesis of what 10,000 young Christian lawyers are learning in law school. We need Christian lawyers, but we need them to learn what the foundation is. You never disobey God in order to obey man. You never do. Do not kill the innocent applies even when the mother's life is at risk. We lose this battle before we get started. Pro-lifers say, I'm against abortion except for rape and incest. If the baby's father's a criminal, you can kill him. God says, never punish a child for this crime of the father. But then how about the life of the mother? Of course you save the mother. You love the mother and you love the baby. We need to teach, evangelize, educate, lobby for judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. In our country, we have confronted this atrocity of abortion here, where women go in and freely kill their children. In China, women are forced, they're dragged. They are dragged by the government, by nurses, to hospitals, thrown on operating tables, and aborted. Forced. And you hear the outrage about it all the time, right? You hear it all the time from our governing officials crying out against China, saying we are going to punish China for what they're doing, this atrocity against women. Xu Yanzhou testified in Congress, and that's her picture there. And she has a story that I think you should hear from her. Xu Yanzhou, can you come up here, please?
Because in China it's against the law, marry or have children under 23. One morning my family had left, I was still asleep. And all door was kicking in, four women grabbed me, or handcuffed on me and put me into the hospital. And nurse forced me to swallow an abortion pill, and I did. I was so scared, the window was locked. My father paid money, he bribed a nurse. And my family said I have to jump and I will all get arrested. And I was scared and I did jump. After that, I don't remember what happened. I was unconscious. My phone held me too high and hurled up and shipped America for freedom. My father paid a lot of money to help me escape China. 25 women were in the ship for 30 days. We were all afraid and wanted freedom. I became very ill. My baby died inside of my stomach. But I didn't know. I come to America, but the Coast Guard make our ship go back. But I was so sick, they put me in the helicopter and took me to the hospital. I begged them, don't take me back, they will kill me. But they put me in jail for 5 years with all the criminals in San Pedro and Bakersfield from 1993 to 1998, when Bill Clinton was president. A Christian girl, Sheila, helped me. She brought me to a pro-life woman, a Christian activist named Terry, who helped me protest outside the jail. Terry helped me to interview talk host show. The woman who got me out of jail, Sheldon Peterson, called the talk show Bob and Your Life. And that Bob, we got help from Bob in the audience. And she fought and helped me out of jail. This pro-life woman brought me to Washington, D.C. and with help with Harry Wu and famous Chinese dissident. I testified before Congress and was on TV on C-SPAN. The next day, Sheryl flew me to the Bob and Your Life seminar. Hi, Bob. I was afraid I would be deported, but that day I met my future husband. The next year, Bob performed our marriage, and today Rich and I will have three beautiful children. But after that, I testified in Congress, the Chinese government beat my mom up and grabbed my mom. They took our home away and that my grandfather built. Chinese women in America are afraid to talk about forced abortion because they have a family at home that they have, their family will be arrested or beat. Forcing women have to abortion is just as the Germany building conference at camps. The Democrats are not angry at China because they are pro-abortion and because Planned Parenthood gave millions of dollars for their population control program. Republican pro-life are not outraged in China because they trade money, politicians. So no one cares either side, and this atrocity against women like me, millions often is accepted. I thank the pro-lifers in this room for being willing to tell the world our story and fight for our lives. And abortion is wrong because it's a baby. You never will kill the baby. Thank you so much.
Yan did interview after interview after interview in the last few days. People have been learning about her story all over the world now. Christian radio in Denver, Colorado, Gino Geraci's show, KRKS, liberal radio run by Clear Channel. You know, liberal talk radio? Xu Yan Zhou spent an hour in the studio Friday morning, 7 to 8, with a man who has been pro-abortion, liberal, Democrat, for 30 years on the air, an old nemesis of mine, Jay Marvin. And at the end, he didn't trust God, he didn't become pro-life, but he did something I haven't heard in all my years fighting this battle since the late 80s. a liberal pro-abort in the media condemned Planned Parenthood for being an accomplice with the kids who are dying in China because they give money to China's population control program. And you know why I think he did that? Because Xu Yanzhou, in this current effort to call our Christian Republican leaders to account for giving China most favored nation trading status, is there a moral difference between building a concentration camp and taking women and forcing them on operating tables and aborting them? Is there a moral difference between that? No, our political parties would give most favored nation trading status to Germany in the 30s and 40s because we have no moral foundation. And so listen to the last 1 minute of J. Marvin's show with Xu Yanzhou.
Xu Yanzhou, it's just been a real pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much.
And you know what? On behalf of the United States of America, I apologize. I apologize for the 5 years that you spent in jail, and I apologize for the fact that we help support the Chinese regime.
Thank you.
That goes for Planned Parenthood, which gives them money, and it goes to people like Bob Schaefer, who are supposed to stand up and don't. We're sorry.
Thank you.
I mean, that's all I know how to say is we're sorry.
Thank you.
People are saying that this personhood effort in Colorado, it's not getting anywhere. It's not getting anywhere. It's just extremist, marginalized. It's just a barking dog. Well, this is a school lesson in China. And if you can see, there's a listening test. And then if you go down, there's a reading comprehension test. And if I could read that, Colorado for Equal Rights for Human Life, this is the text for a English language reading class for native language speakers. Colorado Right to Life spokesman Bob Enyart, snowflakes. And this. Then after you read about this, that's the text for the class. Then here's the question. According to the author of this news report, which of the following people are likely to sympathize with a ballot proposal in Colorado? A, Bob Enyart, B, Colorado Supreme Court, C, National Right to Life, or D, conservative politicians? We cannot keep up. For the last almost 20 years, I've been involved in pro-life activism all that time. The pro-lifers, one of the number one complaints is that the media ignores us. In the last year, we cannot keep up. Leslie Hanks, can we keep up? We cannot keep up. Brian Rohrbaugh, Steve Curtis, Robert Kiffin, Lolita Hanks. We can't keep up. Christy Burton has lit the whole country on fire.
Hallelujah.
With a vision. Oh, and at the bottom there, B, okay, it can be concluded from the passage that B, James Dobson and Brian Rohrbaugh oppose each other's positions. And we do love Dr. James Dobson, and that's sincere. Lifecommercials.com. I want to close with this, the latest spot produced by Jim Anderson and Steve Curtis. This spot is something that the pro-life industry is against. National Right to Life is against this. This spot shows people that Plan B, the morning after pill chemical abortions, that it kills a child. That's what this spot shows. And last year in the campaign in South Dakota, where they were trying to get Yes for Life to pass, the pro-life campaign produced a Plan B TV commercial that ran nationally, and it's in our Focus on the Strategy 2 DVD. You can see the commercial. Produced by the leaders of the pro-life campaign, it was a pro-morning after pill TV spot, saying that the morning after pill is compassion and justice, and it's good for women. It's a chemical abortion, it kills your child. But they thought that would help them win that election. So there have been children abandoned by the millions, by the pro-life industry, which has decided that it's not effective at this time for us to make the case against killing a fertilized egg. They mock us, like Planned Parenthood does. It's a fertilized egg. Why would it have rights? But that is a human being. You don't get your rights when you're born, but your rights come from your creator. So your rights come when you are created at that moment. Let's see this latest spot from Life Commercials. Who were the victims? How many victims in that commercial that have been abandoned because fighting chemical abortion is not savvy, is not politically astute, you don't know what you're doing? How many victims in that commercial? The one baby that was killed and the young girl who could be seduced by her boyfriend and told, look, it's okay, you just take this pill. I got this pill on the internet for $2.60. We can do this. You will not get in trouble. And then girls at younger and younger ages are being seduced because the threshold has come down, because the protectors are not there to take care of her, because the pro-life movement has believed the lie that we don't have to honor God first and foremost above all other considerations. So I know that this is a difficult talk. Of course it's a difficult talk. How do you have a talk like this easily? How do you do it? You can't do it. So I want to ask all of you to take this to heart. We tried to put it as simply as we can so people could remember. C, D, and E. Criminalize personhood. Demoralize no tranquility. No child killing with tranquility. And evangelize. Science doesn't say that abortion is wrong. Science doesn't know anything about right and wrong. God says abortion is wrong. We need to advocate for judges who fear God and will protect the innocent. May God bless you all. The seasons change, but the principles and the winning strategy stay the same. Criminalize, demoralize, evangelize. Right here on this spot in the Rocky Mountains, American Right to Life unfurled the world's largest protest sign when Barack Obama and the Democrats came to our headquarters city, Denver, Colorado. Criminalize. We need to advocate for the personhood and the God-given right to life of the unborn child. What started in Colorado in 2008 has become a nationwide movement with 40 states advocating that the government must recognize the unborn child's God-given right to life. Demoralize. We need to increase social tension. That means not only for Democrats and liberals and for Planned Parenthood, that means for everyone, so that our nation will not be willing to continue another 40 years with decriminalized abortion. No child killing with tranquility. Justice Sonia Sotomayor is new to the U.S. Supreme Court, but the court's pro-abortion position hasn't changed. Her federal career began when President George H.W. Bush nominated Sotomayor to the federal bench. Barack Obama, in what actually is a bipartisan effort, merely promoted her by nominating her now to the U.S. Supreme Court. We need to demoralize everyone who would advocate or tolerate even the killing of unborn children. Evangelize. We need to educate and evangelize. to persuade every person that the unborn child has a God-given right to life. We were told for decades we don't need to mention God because we'll win this battle based on the laws of science. Well, those laws do not mention right and wrong. It is wrong to intentionally kill an unborn child because that little boy, that little girl, is made in God's image and likeness. Please help us advance the personhood of the unborn child. For American Right to Life, I am Bob Enyart.
Hey, this is Bob Enyart. Thank you for tuning in to the conclusion of our Focus on the Strategy trilogy. Pro-life hero Congressman Bob Dornan from California, he said it best. For the rest of my life, I'm indebted to you, American Right to Life. I got your documentary, Focus on the Strategy. You gave me seven simple words, and I will never look at another piece of pro-life legislation without saying those words. It's a bad law if it concludes, and then you can kill the baby. So that's it. Looking forward to tomorrow's Theology Thursday and then Friday's Real Science Radio.